Jesus, heilan meine Seele, lass an deine Brust mich fliehen, da die Wasser näher rauschen und die Wetter heil ziehen. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, selig drüben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Berg mich in der Lebensstürmen, blissvollendet ist mein Lauf, führe mich zum Segelhafen, nimm dann meine Seele auf. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, selig drüben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Andere Zuflucht hab ich keine, sagend hoff ich nur auf dich. Lass, oh, lass mich nicht alleine, hebe her und stärke mich. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, selig drüben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Nur zu dir steht mein Vertrauen, dass kein Nebel mich erschreckt, mit den Schatten deiner Fliege, sei mein wehrlos aufbedeckt. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, selig drüben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Gnade um Gnade, volles Sehnen, sind in dir, o Jesu mein, lass die Heilung mich bestreben, nimm gereinigt mich herein. O, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesus, dir ergeb ich mich, selig drüben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Du bist ja des Lebens Quelle, die den Durst auf ewig stillt. Sei der Born in meinem Herzen, der zum ewigen Leben quillt. Oh, wie gut ist dir Vertrauen, Jesu, dir ergeb ich mich, selig drüben dich zu schauen, dein zu bleiben ewiglich. Der Jesus am Kreuz hing glaubt, wird heil zu der selbige Stund. Zum Blick nur auf ihn, denn der Vater geschickt, der eins auch für die war verwund. Wer Jesu am Kreuz den Glauben erblickt, der heilt zu derselbigen Stund. O, hat nicht ein Jesus getragen die Schuld. Gebisset am Kreuz auch für dich. O floss nicht sein Blut voller Barmer der Hund zur Erlösung für dich und für mich. Dies ist in der See, wer Jesus am Kreuz sehen Glauben erblickt, wer heil zu derselbigen Stund. Dein Weinen und deine Gebete ist es nicht, wodurch du mit Gott wirst versehen. Das Blut deines Heilands befreit vom Gericht, er hat's in den Gnaden gekränkt. Sieh in der See, wer Jesus am Kreuz sehen Glauben erblickt, wird heil zu derselbigen Stund. O zweifle nicht länger, o glaub's gewiss, du hast nun sonst nichts mehr zu tun. Dein Jesus betrat auch für dich in den Riss, in ihm kannst du selig dich ruhen. Sieh in der See, wer Jesus am Kreuz sehen Glaube erblickt, wird heil zu derselbigen Stund. Whoever sees Jesus by faith on the cross will be saved and no longer be lost. There roll only to him whom the Father has sent, who once was as wounded for you. See, sinners, see, whoever sees Jesus by faith on the cross will be saved and no longer be lost. Oh, did not your Jesus bear all of the blame on the cross for you on that day? Oh, did not his blood flow of merciful grace for redemption for you and for me? See, sinners, see, whoever sees Jesus by faith on the cross will be saved and no longer be lost. Your crying and prayers can be rising to God. It is only the blood of the Lamb that was shed at Calvary from judgment can save. It is He who crowns you mercy and grace. See, sinners, see, whoever sees Jesus by faith on the cross will be saved and no longer be lost. Oh, doubt it no longer, believe it for sure. There is nothing else you can do. Your Jesus, He also stepped into the gap, and then you can rest blissfully. See, sinners, see, whoever sees Jesus by faith on the cross will be saved and no longer be lost. So take it with joy what Jesus has done. He gives you eternal salvation. Oh, believe it with certainty, or seize it today, so that it can be your eternal part. See, sinners, see, whoever sees Jesus by faith on the cross will be saved and no longer be lost.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond,
where the saved of earth shall sing the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in the triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. We will hear nobody pray on the morning in that land, for no burden there will be for us to bear. All the people will be singing glory, glory to the land. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace, and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. After all the life is over and our burdens have been lifted and we stand upon the mountain and up so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all, this life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon a mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all, life is over and the burden have been lifted, and we stand upon a mountain top so tall, looking over in that city where the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. It's a good life living for the Lord. It's so wonderful just knowing my reward. Every day is precious love I can enjoy. It's a good life living for the Lord. Well, it's a good life living for the Lord. It's so wonderful just knowing my reward. Every day is precious love I can enjoy. It's a good life living for the Lord. It's a good life living for the Lord. It's so wonderful just knowing my reward. Every day is precious love I can enjoy. It's a good life living for the Lord. The amen to that. What's that scripture? Seek your own salvation.
In Philippians.
Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 12. Said, then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, continue working out your own salvation with awe and reverence. Therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Also, meine Liebsten, wie ihr alle Zeit seid gehorsam gewesen, nicht allein in meiner Gegenwart, sondern auch vielmehr in meiner Abwesenheit, schaffet, dass ihr selig werdet mit Furcht und Zittern. Everybody has to take responsibility for their own salvation. You can't trust nobody with your salvation. You got to go out there and seek your own salvation. I was caught up in a trap. I thought I could trust these people in the pulpit for my salvation, but as I traveled on, I found out that's nothing but first-class deception. The people that I thought was going to take me to the land of glory is the very ones that keep me from it. And I had to learn that because one day I read it. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't trust nobody with your salvation because it's your eternal destiny that it depends on here. And you can't trust nobody. You can't even trust the one you're sleeping with because the Bible says if the one that you're sleeping with, the one that's in your bosom, if he or she leads you to serve other gods, that was back in the Old Testament. Your hand should be the first one to pick up a stone and stone him or her to death, because if they lead you into the wrong direction, you know, because you're responsible for your own salvation, every individual. That, like I say, we found that out the hard way. We had to dig through the rubble, and we were being deceived, and we didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the nature of the beast. That's just the way it is. We're not making up something. We got Bibles to prove it. Exactly what we're saying is actually 100% right. Not one of these people in the pulpit is going to tell you about what's going on in the 20th century, that God did send the prophet. You and I, we had to go find it ourselves because we were hungry and thirsty. That's another thing that didn't do nothing for us. In fact, like I say, they do exactly the opposite. They'll put you in that, they'll burn you at the stake if they as much as find you. Oh, back in the Dark Ages, when you commit on the Parliament said, when you gave up on that Catholic belief structure, they had everybody brainwashed to thinking there's no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. Well, there's people that found out that's a lie. That's out of the pit of hell. That's Satan is traitoring. And then what they did, and they burned them at the stake. And today it's the very same thing. And that Hutterite compound thing, back then it was burning at the stake. And today, that Hutterite rigmarole is that Auschwitz thing that they got. And that's like burning people at the stake. That Auschwitz thing, that's the unpardonable sin of you as much as even now. I have anything to do with Sam and Lorraine. That's all what they did to me. I went to a prayer meeting, and then they put me in this Auschwitz rigmarole, and that there was a time when I even accepted it, and my mom asked my dad, so what are you going to tell the people while you're putting Sam in the Auschwitz, or in other words, and dark, and the real language is, what are you going to tell the people while you're burning, going to take Sam out to the stake and burn him at the stake? Then he could come up with an answer. He couldn't tell her because he went to a prayer meeting, because that would be exposing him. So he came up with an answer. Well, he had no business challenging us. I said, mm-hmm. You're going to burn him at the stake for challenging you? See, that's what they did back in the Dark Ages when they challenged the Roman Catholic, these Jesuits and the Pope, and they would take you down and they'd burn you at the stake. So they're the same devil, but he's got a different set of clothes on, that's all, and a different hat and a different beard and different clothes, you know, and it's the same devil today as it was then. But see, you and I, we had to find out about that. We had to dig through the rubble and through the, cut to the chase, and mm-hmm. we found out exactly what's going on mm-hmm. here in the 20th century. And just because of that, they decided one day, they had me in their kangaroo court. That thing's been going on for 5 years, back and forth, and they had me in their kangaroo court. And before they call you up to their kangaroo court, they already determine what they're going to do to you. The minute you challenge that system, because the Satanist is there, and behind it is the spirit of Satan, no matter how it's painted up, and no matter how glorious it looks. It seems like we had to go out there, and we had to seek and search our own salvation, and the Lord took me to the Pentecost. And there again, I just had to keep searching and searching, and one day, by the grace of God, he brought me to the ministry of that Malachi 4 prophet. Behold, I'll send you Elisha the prophet. And then he started. He came on the scene back in the 1930s, and he preached for 40 years, and I found out about it, and I just saturated myself with it. And the minute I found out about it, I went and told everybody. Then he told me I got to get baptized in Jesus' name, Acts 2, verse 38. And I did. I couldn't wait to do that. And I couldn't wait to tell everybody that knew me. They heard about it. You know what they did? Oh, just because I got re-baptized out there in the title, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they told, oh, he's been baptized 26 times. You know, that's a devil's trick. You know, it did bother me, you know, because I knew what I found. I knew what I'd been looking for, and I knew I had to find my own salvation with fear and trembling. You've got to take responsibility for your own actions. You're responsible for your own salvation. Not tell no, but even the things that we're saying, you got to go check it out with the scripture. Just like the Bereans back in the days of Paul. Paul came on with a complete different method. And the Bereans, they were all in the Bible, and they heard Paul. Oh, man, that was something new to them. And then they went to the scripture, and they found it to be exactly so. So he talked about it. The Bereans, they were more noble than anybody else, and the other groups, and they went to the scripture to see if these things be so. And the same thing today. There's people out there, they go check the scripture. There's some people that just take it for face value. But there's people, they go to the scripture to see if the things that we're saying here is not so. And once they find it to be true, and they just put the pedal to the metal, and they just go, they believe us, you know. But see, they got to take responsibility for our own actions. And that's what we're trying to say. We're nobody's savior. We're just trying to show you the way. We've been deceived. We've all been hoodwinked by that diabolical satanic preachers and these pulpits. And I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at the devil about their ignorance and their stupidity. Here they're trying to lead thousands and thousands of people down to hell and death, down to destruction. And when I come along and tell them exactly the way it is, what do? They take you into the kangaroo court, and they try throw the books at you, put you in the house, put you in the shunning, and all that garbage that you have implemented. Really, what they do, they take you down and burn you at the stake, simply because you're telling people the truth. You're challenging their diabolical system. That's all it is. It's not of God. Behind it is the spirit of Satan. I found out about it. It cost me a lot to find that. To find that out, because one day I'll write it. Seek your own salvation with fear and trembling. Heavenly Father, we just read your word here, Lord. I just pray you'll take what we read here, Lord. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Help us to say things, Lord, the way you want it said. Help us to expose these tugs, these unfruitful works of darkness, these works of Satan, Lord, that we can put it out there, these spiritual wickedness in high places, Lord. That we can put it out there in broad daylight for people to see, and then they can go and judge for themselves what they're going to do about it, Lord. I just pray that you continue to use us for your honor, for your glory, Lord, because we have no program. We have completely clueless when it comes to doing things for the Lord. I just pray, Lord, you'll just direct us with that of your eye. Lord, do with us as you see fit. Give us the words to say and the right attitude to say it. And Lord, we just pray for Tanya to give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I just saw that yesterday. You know, you and I, we're saying things that nobody ever heard of because what we're doing, we're bringing things into today's language, you know. To a lot of people, Jesus, like that song we sang, to a lot of people, Jesus is just a historic figure. But Jesus never, he was resurrected, and he went to the Father, and the program continued. He continues on with the Apostle Paul, and then he continued on with the seven angels that he sent throughout the great city. God is still in the throne. He walks amongst the golden candlesticks. You can see him all back in Revelation. He's in amongst the churches, and he's been moving ever since. He's not dead. Like, he's not, to you and I, Jesus is not a historical figure. And here the church in the Laodicea, that angel that God sent, he spoke through the vocal cords of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. That's the only thing you have to concern yourself. Don't worry about these tugs out there, these demons and the pulpits that are out there just to deceive the masses and the people. We found it out. It cost us a hefty price to bring this truth to the people. And we're not going to walk on eggshell. We're going to call it out exactly the way it needs to be called out. And we're going to expose that Leonard from Deltas, the Joseph from Cyprus, these people in these pulpits. It just say that back, like I said, back in the Dark Ages, you can go read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I read it twice. Back then it was these zealots. Back in the days of Jesus, it was these scribes and these Pharisees. And Satan, he changes his color. And then he just keeps on moving ahead. And now here today, amongst the Hutterite nation, it's these tugs in the pulpit. It's just that simple.
Well, it says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so that no one can boast. So that's the salvation of God, that God sent his only Son, Jesus, to be sacrificed there at the cross of Calvary for the sins of man, for redemption. That's the whole plan of Jesus was to redeem. The whole plan of God was to create a family, and then to redeem it, to redeem that family back to him, because it was lost. And then he saved it through the Lord Jesus Christ. No church saved you. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. No religion saved you. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you will go through what it says in Philippians, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, when you would go back to the Dark Ages and you would have lived there in Roman Catholicism, where they had everything under wraps, that nothing you could do, you couldn't say or move anything outside of what Roman Catholicism allowed you. And there came Martin Luther with a revelation as he was going up to do penance. The Lord spoke to him out of heaven in an audible voice and said, Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. And that changed put a whole new light on what Roman Catholicism was doing. They were keeping everybody in bondage. And that's what was up to each and everybody now, was to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. What Martin Luther brought, or are they going to continue to live in the Dark Ages? So it was their responsibility to take that revelation that God had restored, that just shall live by faith, and work it out, their salvation, with fear and trembling. That's what it's all about. And then when John Wesley came on the scene, he brought in a holy living. Now, God required a holy living. Live holy before God. And that was the sanctification part of what God now requires. See, that's That's all the process of working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not sitting in a religious environment and thinking that that is the way to heaven. See, that's deception. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that redeemed us back to God, not a religious system. And then when you walk through the century where God sent the prophet in the 1900s there, you can see that God was restoring more things. And that's why it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. These people, it was all new to them, what God was doing at Azusa Street. But they took it to the Bible. If these things line up with the scripture, the speaking in tongues and prophecies, and then water baptism in Jesus' name, all these things were new to these people, because all these things that the early church had brought was lost because the enemy came in and started sowing tares and deception. And then the whole church, when the water baptism was changed in the Trinity, went into the dark ages. Everything that the early apostles stood on was lost. It was taken from the people, and they went into the dark ages. And then here God restored these things, and that was all new to this generation, because they had not the speaking in tongues was something that they did back at Pentecost hour, and here God was restoring it. And then another brother came by, and God was dealing with him with water baptism in Jesus' name. And so they started to investigate that, and then a brother was baptizing down in the river, and the Lord spoke to him, baptize them in my name. And they went and searched these things out via the scripture, if these things are so. And that's what we did. We were not content with just what we were being taught from generations and from generations. Something in our soul and spirit did not sit right, so we had to start seeking out our salvation, to work it out with fear and trembling. And that's where God brought us to, like the things that tradition and religion brought with it. We had to find out if these things are actually lined up with the Word of God, and we found it not to be so. So we had to work out these things, like it says in the scripture, to try the spirits to see if they are of God. And that's the first thing any individual should do, is to take the Word of God. And that's why it's important to read the scripture, to find out what the scripture says, so that you cannot be easily deceived. And we took these things that God restored in this Laodicea church hour, and we took it to the scripture, if these things are not so, and we found it to be so. And that is how a person works out their salvation with fear and trembling, to make sure you're not being deceived, to take it to the Word of God, so that you can stand before God according to His Word, not according to some religion or some tradition, but to the Word of God.
Amen to that. I once did some very extensive studying. Once I found out we're being deceived, we're being duped by these very people in the pulpit. And I took a microscope to the scriptures, and I went back to Martin Luther's hour for thousands of years the people have been duped and deceived by that Roman Catholicism, and here along comes Martin Luther. Very simple. Put that whole Roman Catholic Church out of commission simply by the phrase, the just shall live by faith. And then I did some extensive study, and I used to think that Peter Riedemann, he was a real zealot. He was really something. And that Andreas Ehrenpreis, and that Jakob Hüther, and all these early things. And I did some study, and I found out it's exactly the opposite of what Martin Luther preached. It's exactly the opposite of from the just to live by faith. Here, what they're doing, they're bringing the the Christians back then, they're bringing them back into Roman Catholicism again to this community style living. Yeah, they call it community living. They call it Gemeinschaft. But what it was, they're dragging the people back again into the dark ages, and the proof is in the pudding. They're doing exactly the same thing that the Catholic Church had in the dark ages. You had to go to the Pope to get rid of your sins and all that same garbage. They got that, these, how do I call it now? They got their Pope, they're done. Call him a Pope because now Satan is camouflaging this whole thing. He's making enter a religious system again. Dragging people back into the dark ages, and they don't even know it. They're too stupid to go and study it out. But see what I did? I went and took it through the microscope of scripture, and I found out, man, they're doing exactly what they did in the dark ages. But instead of calling it burning at the stake, they're calling it Auschwitz. You know, I think they're doing God a service, and they're giving you over to the devil, and you gotta get down on your knees, and you gotta ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness for what? For believing the truth. See, I went through that whole rigmarole. The Lord allowed me to go through that whole smear. And then now what I can do now, I can expose it. I didn't go through it in vain. The Lord allowed me to go through it. Now I can expose it for exactly what it is. Like I say, my mom asked my dad, so what are you going to tell the people? Like I say, I'm bringing it into today's language. So what are you going to tell the people why you're going to burn Sam at the stake? And he had to come up with some kind of an answer. Like I said before, he couldn't say because he went to a prayer meeting. Because that'll be exposing them. So he came up with, oh, he had no business to challenge us. You know what I'm saying? And well, and then, I didn't accept the kangaroo court, so eventually that whole thing fell by the wayside. But the Lord allowed me to go through to expose them how ruthless and how brutal they are. And like I say, they don't say we're going to take Sam and we're going to burn him at the stake. You just say we're going to put him into this house, rigmarole, which was back then it was burning at the stake. But here in this land, they can't burn you at the stake anymore. Mm-hmm. But they can do the next best thing is they put you in this shunning. They put you in these houses. And these groups are doing the same thing. The same thing with the Amish. If you don't wear the hat the way they say it, you don't shave the beard, they want you to shave your beard. And then if you find you driving a car instead of a horse and a buggy, they'll put you in the shunning thing and the outer thing. They'll take you down and burn at the stake. Mm-hmm. And then if they can't break, eventually you're going to have to leave. And that just, like I say, we're bringing everything into today's language mm-hmm. so it can easily be understood. Just like we talked about these judgments that's coming on people, this cancer. We bring it into today's language that you can see out if you fight against truth. Like my wife, she, when I told her about God sent the prophet, she fought the tooth and nail and wouldn't believe it. And then she started to come against me and just simply told this is not true. Well, you know, it's the same thing today. If you go against truth and against righteousness, then you're going to have these curses come on you. Now she's dying with cancer and with Alzheimer's simply because she rejected truth, and now these curses come on to these people. The same with these people down at that Heartland. God brings curses one way or another, and judgment is coming way one way or another. But down in that Heartland College, but because back in the day I tried to tell them about Jesus, about the truth for your day, about water baptism in Jesus' name, and they fought it tooth and nail, and they called up that Bloomingard Jake, and I was down there for a whole month, and I told you the other day I was working there, and then they decided one day you better get that guy out of here. But in the meantime, I'm telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling about the message for your day. And they couldn't wait to get me out of it. See what they did? They rejected the truth, and now they got this kitchen burned down, and their business burned down, and things like that. It's got judgment on them, and they don't even know it, right in front of their eyes. And they, well, what they're going to do, they just decide, instead of repenting and owning up and accepting what I try to tell them, what they do, they're going to build another kitchen and do just continue on with the program. And mm-hmm. knowing very well, like I kept saying, if the Lord don't build a house, the builder build a name. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm.
That's what we're trying. We're just exposing it. Mm-hmm. We're just exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. And then what people do with it, they can take it or they can leave it. We're just trying to make it easy for people, because here in these closing days of time, God sent the prophet. God sent the message. And the whole concept of our talking here and our what we're doing, we're telling people there's a way out of this judgment. If you continue down that other right path, you're going to end up in judgment. But if you accept the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's just an exit route out of this hell that's coming. And the only way you can get out of it, you got to accept the message for your day. This is life eternal, that they believe in them whom I will send. And he sent these angels, and we're just continuing on telling people about what that prophet, that Malachi 4 prophet did, and what that apostle, Brother Jackson, has told the people. They were preaching for 80 years between the two of them. Brother Brendan preached 40 years, Brother Jackson preached 40 years, and now they're off the scene, and all we're doing, we're holding on to the truth that's been given to the church age of Laodicea. And you can take it or leave it. You can do what we did. We went to the scriptures to find out if these things be so. We found them to be exactly so. That's why you gotta seek out your own salvation in fear and tremble. And if you can get yourself to a place where you can believe what we're saying, what do you do then? You do exactly what the Bible said. Who to him that heareth, let him say. You gotta get involved, otherwise it's just gonna be taken away from you, and before you know it, you're gonna go back into the gutter again. Let's say you're listening to us, and there's a lot of people that listen to us time and time again, and then what they do, they don't get involved. You gotta get involved. You gotta get your feet wet. You gotta be willing to die for the cause of truth and for the cause of Christ. Because that's what we did. When we saw it, we didn't care what people said, did or think. We just went right pedal to the metal, we went straight ahead, and we told everybody. We didn't care what these zealots will do to us. Like I say, if the law of the land would allow it, they'd have burned me at the stake 10 times over already. They'd have chopped my head off 10 times already, if the law of the land would allow it. But see, we're just charging on that. We're exposing it for what the devil is doing here in these closing days of time, and we're giving people the truth for your day. The truth for your day has always the message for your day. And the message for the church is the Laodicea, Brother Branham, Brother Jackson. Now we're putting on the finishing touches, and once this is done here, it might even be this year yet. But I don't guarantee you one thing. Before the 3 years are out, all this will happen. The day of the Lord will be here, and then the Lord sets up his kingdom and his millennial reign. And if you think you're going to get away with not getting involved, you got to get involved. Otherwise, it's no use just me telling you that. We're just telling you so you don't have to go through this hell that's coming, and then we're telling you a way of escape. But you got to get involved. To him that heareth, let him say come. Just that simple.
One of the first messages that we ever had is, have you been to Jesus? And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, we cannot save anybody. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why everybody needs to walk that walk and have that responsibility. Like, the church world out there has made it so that you only have to belong to a certain organization, and that's the way to heaven. Like Roman Catholicism will say, if you're outside of Roman Catholicism, you are not going to make it. And that's what every religion does. They if you're not part of that religion. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I said, one of the first messages we had is, have you been to Jesus? And there's Ernie. Like and Ernie is just one of many of people that reject Jesus, and they think that if they just can climb on some bandwagon, and they're gonna make it. But if you don't do anything to work out your salvation, you're not gonna make it. You're not gonna, just because you belong to some organization, to some religious group, that you're gonna get into heaven. That is deception. You have to do something for your salvation, to work it out, and to put in an effort. Like Ernie, he would like for me to open up the back door and say it's okay for him to come in, because we're related, right? Mm-hmm.
He thinks you're his savior.
Uh-huh. See, that's not scriptural. He has to
do something in order, like, that's the whole part, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. First of all, it's the way is Jesus. Nobody else is the way. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot come in by another person's merits. That's mm-hmm. not how it works, salvation. Like, he still has that mindset that he could somehow get in through the back door without the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
And every so often he'll pop his head out and think he could get away with it and do it, but it's not going to work in the end. If we would say that is right, we would be deceiving people. But it is, though. We are still only one way. The way, the truth, and the life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody else can open up a door and you get in the back door somehow. It's only, there is only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If anybody else tells you something different, it's deception.
Amen to that. We're just trying to make it available to people, because that multitudes, that whole hundred right there, have been so deceived and so deluded that they after a while, you can't believe nothing else. That's all you see. That Hutterite community style living, that is the way to heaven. And I had to did some extensive studying, like I say, and I found out back in the days of Martin Luther, that's when these communes started rising up. Also, so much that it became the law of the land, practically, that you had to live in a commune to get to heaven. And what they're doing, they're dragging the human race back into the dark ages again. But now Satan is putting on a nice, smooth, long beard and a cloak and a community living. If you really want to show brotherly love, the only way you can do it is if you live with one another, and they have this community style living, and that's how the people are deluded. Completely the opposite of what Martin, that angel brought to the Martin Luther, that just shall live by faith. And like you were saying, then he continues on. It doesn't stop. Then he goes on to John Wesley. He was the church age in his hour, church age messenger. That angel spoke through the lips of John Wesley. First he started with Apostle Paul, then with Irenaeus, and on down through the seven church ages, and now he started with Martin Luther, and the reformers, and then he continued with John Wesley, and then here in this 20th century, he continued with Brother Branham, and then because the church age of Laodicea is such a deceptive hour that God cannot afford to have a silence. And the minute Brother Branham goes off the scene, Brother Jackson was there to take over. And the minute Brother Jackson goes off the scene, the Lord was looking for somebody that they can trust to continue on with the program. He found you and I faithful to continue on with the program. That's why we're not walking on eggshells. We're calling it out exactly the way it needs to be called out. These people in these pulpits, they're not but agents of Satan. Where are you going to hear anybody say that? We're the only two people that have the backbone to say it exactly the way it needs to be said. That Leonard from Delta, he's just a religious zealot, just like they were back in the days of Jesus, just like they did in the dark age. They used these Jesuits to butcher and to maim and the Christians. And they use the same thing, but now he can't burn you at the stake anymore, but he can put you in the outs. If you don't agree with him, he'll put you in the outs. If you as much as list the same in Lorraine, he'll put you in the outs. And they'll try to break, they try to intimidate, they'll try to get you to compromise and try to get you to deny that Samuel Rainer right. Well, we know we're right. That's why we're not walking on eggshells. That's why we're saying it thinks the way, exactly the way they need to be said. We're just continuing on with the program that God started back to the early church. And here we are in the closing days of time. We have only one message that's left. The invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You can go check the scriptures out yourself, just like we did. I found it over in Matthew 22, where there's an invitation going out to the marriage supper of the Lamb, to the Lord Jesus Christ getting married to his bride. And we're just telling people the way it is, and we're not allowing ourselves to be intimidated or fear-mongered. They can't do nothing to us. They can only do what the Bible says, fear not them that kill the body. Eventually, if time goes on, they're going to be killing it. They're going to be killing us, but right now they can only put you in the outs and the shunning, and that's their way of burning at the stake, so to speak. like we, you and I, we're bringing everything into today's language so that people can understand it. These cancers, there's just God's judgment, and these buildings burning, that kitchen burning, that's just God's judgment, but we're bringing them to today's hour. Down there, you can't tell them that that's God's judgment for rejecting the truth, because they're so accustomed, they're so brainwashed, and to thinking this is the way to live, and then what they do, they're going to go out there and build another kitchen, and like I said the other day, they'll probably put up a steel building thinking, God, it's not going to burn down, or a cemented one. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they'll do. But see, instead of denying, instead of bowing their knees to the Lord, the glory, and instead of accepting the message for your day, then they will do everything they can to bypass that. And even if they have to spend millions of dollars to build up a steel building or a cement building, thinking God's hands are tied. God can come at you from another angle. And the same with that cancer and all these diseases that people are dying from. Mm-hmm. And it's just the same. It's just the same old devil. The devil has died yet. The devil's going to be done away with here 3 years from now. And then we'll go on to the millennium. And there'll be no more devil around until the end of the millennium. Then he's let loose to go out and deceive the people that were born in the millennium. See, you and I, we got the program. We can take you right back when God had himself a council. You can go read it in Ephesians 1. Way back before the foundation of the world. The Bible was written before the foundation of the world. And back then, God had himself a council. And he said, I'm going to see to it that that blueprint that I made is going to happen exactly right to the T. And you and I, we have to tap in, because that's all we did all our life. All we were interested in. Get that scripture into our system. Get the Bible into our makeup so that we're completely saturated with the Bible. And then when we see these utterites coming out with a different program that's in the Bible, well, we started rising up. There's something in us that's not compatible with the Bible. And then we started speaking out. And of course, when you speak up, that's what you're going to get. You and I, we're pegged as the crazies. But I tell you what, we're the ones that are saying. We're the only ones that have to answer, that have to program right. And they can do whatever they want. But see, we're so far up the road already. There's no way they're going to get us to compromise. Like 2 years ago when I was sick on today. Here they come, thinking now that he's sick and he doesn't have much left, his life is pretty much, now's the time to pounce. But they had to leave without getting their mission accomplished. I just simply told them, that ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we give you thanks for that great plan of salvation, Lord, for redemption, Lord, Eric Calvary. We just pray that people can accept that plan of redemption, that salvation that you offer there at Calvary, Lord, and look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. And it's up to each and every one to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, Lord. It can't go in by other people's merits, but they are responsible for their salvation, Lord, and what they do with their lives. So we just pray, Lord, that you'll take these words and let them speak in the hearts of people, Lord. We just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.